Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. At 21st verse, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And I'm going to minister to you for the next few minutes, and it may be few. I'm not going to stay up here any longer than I feel it would be good for me to. I could finish tomorrow if I don't finish today. But I'm going to minister to you from the thought of frustrated grace. Frustrated grace. Now, that is a possibility, or Paul would not have said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And this, too, came to me along in the time of my convalescence. In fact, it just caught such a fire in my heart. I just told Sister Glass, I said, God has given me messages that I guess I'll just have to give them to somebody else. But he just flooded my soul with beautiful thoughts. And she said, if God's giving them to you, he's giving them to you for you to preach, not to give away. And this is the one I was talking about, and here I am at School of Missions introducing it to you today. Frustrated grace. Before I allow you to be seated, I'm going to tell you, in the Pentecostal world that I'm acquainted with through reading and hearing and meeting, and I'm not talking about the United Pentecostal Church only. I said the Pentecostal world, and there's multiplied millions of people that go under the banner of Pentecost, that you and I are millions of miles from them, but they're still known as Pentecost. And there's two great extremes among the people of the Pentecostal world, and it attacks us at various times and various places. Two great extremes. And one is the law. We preach law. We preach rules and regulations many times much more than we do the grace of God. And I'm far rules, regulations. I think we should have them. We couldn't get along without them. I tell people that, as far as I'm concerned, the book of all books is the Bible. I'll lay every book in the world aside and take the Bible if I had to. There is a people that's just a law preacher. You got to do this or you going to hell. I never have found that phrase in the Bible. Never have. Some was talking to me yesterday about hearing me preach in Australia on our beautiful plan of salvation. Beautified it. We present it to the world so ugly sometimes there's just no desire for it. That's the most beautiful plan God ever offered to mortal man. Beautiful. And I said, would God create a beautiful world for you to live in? Beautified it. Brother, there's some beautiful places in this world. You've driven miles and miles just to see them, and God created them for you. And gave us so much beauty to enjoy. Made you beautiful and handsome. Gave us colors, blue sky, and just so many beauties. And then is he going to turn around and give us ugly, undesirable plan of salvation to take us to streets of gold and gates of pearl? No, it's beautiful. If we'll present it in the right way, it'll make people want it instead of got to have it. People resent you telling them what they've got to do. They have a resentment. I'll just show you I don't have to do it. But you can present it in a way that you make them want to. Now that's the grace. But law. And I studied those three words, grace and law, those two words. And then the third one, frustration. And the word frustrate means brought to nothing, retorted, baffled, just defeated. And then law is rules of action established by authority. Now, you could go back to Mosaic law, but we've got laws today. Rules and regulations established by authorities. And then the grace. Beautiful grace of God. Something granted as a favor rather than as a right. That's grace. The condition of one accepted by God for salvation. The condition of one accepted by the Lord for salvation. God, by grace, has brought the believer to the highest conceivable position by His grace. And I'm going to talk to you about grace and law and frustration this morning. Law frustrates grace. Now, if you want to get down and serve God by the written law, you're frustrating the grace of God. God wants you to serve Him in the realm of grace. And I know this is, I prayed about it. I know I'm preaching to preachers and some great preachers. And you're going to talk about it when I finish. I know that. But you're not going to change me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll give you just a little illustration and then I'm going to let you sit down. I know the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves at the house of God. But I've never in my life went to the church because that's a verse. Never in my life have I gone to church because that's in the Bible. I go because I want to. Pay no attention to that. That's for that person that don't want to go, dilatory and slothful. You see, I'm just giving you a little difference in law and then living up here in the realms of grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think I'll back up here to first chapter of Galatians and read just another verse. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Marvel, marvel. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your kindness. Praise the Lord. I've seen precious people that are very dear to me, and you have too, live for God for a number of years, faithful and true, and then all of a sudden they just go to the extreme on grace. You can't do one thing in the world to save yourself. Not nothing. It's not wrong for you to cut your hair and wear slacks and go to movies and worldly amusements. That's hit our country at different times. And I know it has you. Makes no difference how you baptize. They go into the extreme in grace. And grace is the greatest teacher there is in the Bible. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Now this is not law. This is grace teaching us to deny ungodliness. Now, with these people that's gone to the extreme with grace, they'll say nothing wrong with anything, but grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Now, if you don't want no rules, it didn't tell you to obey the rules against ungodliness. Grace didn't tell you. It teaches you itself to deny it. Praise God. And I want to deny ungodliness because grace teaches me so. And just forget the manual and its teachings on it. It teaches it, but I'm going to stay with the grace of God. Is that all right? That's my convictions. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, it teaches us to deny worldly lust. And notice it did not say fleshly lust, though that's included. It said worldly lust, lusting after the things of the world. I can say that embraces, includes being like the world. The grace of God teaches us to not be like the world. Now, you go and hear the pastor preach on worldliness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And some of these, it's gone to the extreme. I know of them. I know some of them. They went to a little church across town that's called Abundant Life. You can be a member of it and do anything you want to. You want to wear slacks, shorts, cut your hair, shave your head. You men, let it grow down to your back. You can do anything you want to. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I can preach that. I believe that with all my heart. That's Ephesians 2 and 8. But I'd like for you to go back and find where the church at Ephesus got saved. Paul's writing to a church. You're saved by grace. But when did that church get saved? 19th chapter of Acts. Paul came by. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's the church at Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you... Well, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. How were you baptized? John's baptism. He preached to them baptism in Jesus' name. He preached to them the Holy Ghost. They received it. And they spoke in tongues. And later on, he wrote them a letter to the church. By grace are ye saved. I can tell that to every one of you. But still, you did something. The grace of God teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Telling us how to live. The grace of God's telling us how to live. Not rules and regulations. But when we back down and do it simply because it's a written law, we're frustrating the grace of God. God wants us to do it because it gives favor with Him. And it does when we of our own initiative do these things without anybody telling us and compelling us and threatening us. Then we bring the blessings of God in our lives that I personally want, desire, and need. Praise the Lord. Do you understand it? Do you understand it? Frustrating the grace of God. Obeying because it's a rule. Are obeying because it's the grace of God permits me to do so. Thank God. In the prayer room, I just had to worship the Lord a little while myself. Just thank Him for His goodness and His kindness and mercy and permitting me to be in this school of mission for the 11th consecutive time. This is my 11th consecutive school of missions. And here I am again by the grace of God. No law in the world could have brought me here. You couldn't have passed one that could have brought me. I couldn't have made one. No one could have made. It just takes the goodness and grace and mercy of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't come down and serve God according to rules. And live above them. Don't ignore them. Just live above them. Live by the grace of God. Do you know that the choice things that's taught in the church today actually originated in another dispensation of time, but so pleased God until He brought it all through other dispensations right up until the grace. And it was grace. I challenge anyone here to tell me, was there a law in Joseph's day that thou shalt not commit adultery? If you do, your credentials are going to be forever taken away from you. You'll never preach again. Was that a law back in Joseph's day? You search the scripture and see if the word adultery had ever been mentioned. One word said about it in the Word of God up until the day of Joseph. There was no law, no rule that told him not to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. Not one rule, not one law. But when she tempted him and challenged him time after time after time, caught him in the house, just the two of them, and was determined for him to commit sin with her, and he refused. And his statement was, after he explained that Potiphar placed him or everything in that house but her, he said, "I cannot do this thing and sin against God." Now, where was their law that said it was a sin? The grace of God helped that man back in that day. Can you agree with that? His love for God and righteousness and godliness kept him clean and pure. And we live in a day when we got rules, regulations, laws, Holy Ghost, and grace. My. Praise the Lord. And God was so pleased with that young man that refused to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. He brought it in to rules, for even under the law, he established it. And it's come on into grace. But a man that knows the grace of God wouldn't allow himself to be tempted with such a damned of sin as committing adultery. I thank God for His grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'll ask you, and you answer me if you can, what angel, what prophet, or when, or where, or by whom was Abraham told to pay tithes? Who told him to pay tithes? Find it somewhere in the Word of God where a prophet, or even Gabriel, or the Lord Himself told Abraham to pay tithes. I can't find it. Can't find it nowhere. But Abraham met Melchizedek, and of his own initiative, nobody telling him, his own initiative, just surrendered a tenth of everything he had to him. What caused him to do that, grace of God? Grace of God. And that so pleased the Lord. That step of Abraham so pleased God until he established it as an everlasting financial system for his cause on this earth. Some says it come under the law. It was before the law. It came through the law. And Jesus taught it himself when he was here on the earth. Did you pay tithes on coming in a nice? But you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done, and don't leave tithe paying undone. Jesus taught that. Now, people who want to go back to the law, well, why don't you accept what Jesus taught? Brought it right on in to the grace dispensation. It originated way back in Moses' day. I think I could say in the dispensation of promise, God brought us a long way, never given up on us. Praise God, from one dispensation to another, and here we are in this wonderful grace. Grace. Do things because it pleases God. Grow in grace. Strive to grow in grace. How do you grow? Continue to do those things that please God. Get away from, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I heard somebody say, I don't have to do but one thing, and that's to die. And someone arguing with him said, yeah, you got two things. So you got to live till you die. I don't like that in a church. I don't like it. Praise God. I like initiative, spontaneous, people worshiping because they want to, going to church because they want to. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I think that's what the Lord wants. He's searching after people that he found back in the Old Testament here and there and picked them up as examples for us, rules for us to go by because they themselves chose what they did of their own initiative. I appreciate it. Now, if you're going to pay tithes because Scripture teaches you rob God, well, it'll pay the light bill. It'll pay payments and buy groceries. But I'm talking about favor with God. Favor with God. Pay them because it just gives you favor. You don't merit it, but it brings the blessings and favors of God upon you. I never will forget. Baptized a man. He had a good job with Texas Oil Refinery, Port Arthur, years ago. And dressed. He was ever dressed up. And drove a good car. Started coming to church. I invited him to come to Sunday school, and he kind of passed it off. And I invited him again, and passed it off to three or four times. He said, Brother, I'm going to tell you why I don't come to Sunday school. He said, I can't read and write. And he said, I'm afraid you'd ask me a question and embarrass me. I said, Brother Brown, I'll never ask you a question and embarrass you. Never. In the Sunday school class. He started coming. Later on, he got saved, baptized him, received the Holy Ghost, and started paying his tithes. Wasn't long. He came to me one day, and he had an itemized statement of everything. His wife fixed it for him. And here's this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, and come all the way down, left tithes out, and it was added up, he could meet every obligation and have a little bit left over. But when he added the tithes to it, he couldn't get around. And it looked so simple to her, not having the Holy Ghost, just take the tithes off. Well, he came to me for advice, and I felt like that I owed him the truth. I was his pastor and couldn't read and write, and this may be establishing something for his lifetime. And I said, Brother Brown, has this happened to you before? He said, no, it hasn't. Not since I've been in the church. This just hasn't happened. I said, do you you reason with me. Do you reckon by chance this has happened to you today? For God just to watch you and see what you will put off on next day. how you reckon this happened, Brother Brown. Here's other things you can remove and put ties in and make it. Do you think it could be that God's just looking at this sheet of paper and watching to see what you're going to wait to take care of? He said, I hadn't thought of that, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay my tithes. And he told me after that it never happened again. Never. God, oh, bless his name, watching us. You're moving by law because you got to. I've heard people invited to go somewhere. Oh, I can't. I got to go to church tonight. I got to. Law, living by the law. Living by the law. I got to go to church. Got to pay tithe. I feel bad if I don't go to prayer room. I feel bad if I don't testify. I feel like a thief if I don't pay my tithes. God wants us living above that. Praise God. Here in a realm that pleases Him, brings favor with God, and it just elevates us, thrills us, blesses us, and we enjoy it so much more than we will if we live a life frustrating the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I studied this and studied it for my own benefit. And I actually brought service into it. Service into grace instead of into a law. I've heard, and I may be treading on ground that I ought to stay off of, but I've heard preachers say that they promised God by the bedside of a dying baby that if He would heal them, they would preach. That may be true, but I'd rather quit a job in depression when you can't buy one. Quit it. Start out by faith because I love God, love souls. Not brought up in a corner and forced. I sometimes wonder if God's going to force us. Praise God. He loves people that love Him, want Him. You're that way. You inherited that from the Lord. You got it from the Lord. You don't want people doing things for you they don't want to do. Just because they feel an obligation. You don't want that. Oh, but brother, whenever someone goes out of their way because they know it pleases you, they love you, it does something to you that nothing else in the world does. Don't live a life frustrating the grace of God. By grace are you saved. Thank God for grace, that we can grow in grace. Not diminish, but grow. More grace today than we had yesterday. And I want to tell you, friends, you'll never meet nothing in all the days of your life, on the field, at home, or abroad, or where, but what the grace of God will take care of you. The grace of God is sufficient. A law will not keep you, but the grace of God will hold you. It'll make you happy in your work. Make you contented. You go into the field because you feel you have to. You get over there, it's a God, I've got to. No! The grace of God will make you happy on the field much more so than you will be at home. all the teaching in the New Testament, all of it, from first verse of Romans to the last of Jude, is written by men of grace. Every word is not law, it's grace. Grace teachers. Now that's right. That is not, as Brother Welch said, nearly about right. That is right. John was a grace preacher and a good one when he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's grace preaching. That's not law preaching, that's grace preaching. Thank the Lord. Every word of it.